are definitely on shaky ground. Hard to know what's to come when it comes to the outlook and also what it means for investments. Aaron Kennan is back with us. He's co-founder, chief executive officer at Clear Harbor Asset Management, over $650 million in assets under management. And we find him on the phone in New York. So, Aaron, how's 2016 been for you guys?
Well, you know, we've waded through these markets reasonably well. I will confess that we probably, on the equity side, underperformed over the last few years due to the fact that we were not as overweight growth and more focused on value for our clients. And year-to-date, that's actually worked out well, where growth has, you know, clearly underperformed and will most likely continue to underperform, and value is picking up some steam. I think the last time I was on the show, I was beating the drum on utilities for the coming year, particularly natural gas distribution and water distribution utilities. And that's been a really strong suit. That's probably one of the few sectors that's up handily.
Utilities are your top performing major industry group in the S&P, up about 7.5% this year.
Yeah, so that's worked out well, and we've seen some tailwinds from the M&A side, where Duke Energy announced their purchase of Piedmont, moving from, you know, serving as a sole electric generation producer to actually moving into the natural gas distribution space. Just a few weeks ago, we saw Southern Company announce that they were acquiring Questar and moving westward again, diversifying into an area where there's actually growth within the utility industry. The old sort of electric gen space is not growing, and they're looking for solid dividend opportunities, and that's what they're doing, and that's how we're allocating some of our client capital.
It's interesting because we've been talking about this quite a bit, but there are some of the stocks I feel like were held up for a while, hoping for a bid, hoping that maybe some acquirer was out there, and I feel like that trade has given up.
Well, you know, if you look, Corey, at I'll just mention one because it's the largest. Just use it as a benchmark, like American Water Works. You know, that's a company that continues to find a solid bid in this down market. Natural gas distributors like South Jersey Industries and New Jersey Resources and Chesapeake Utilities out of Florida, not Chesapeake, the energy company. These are all very well bid in this current market environment, even though the underlying S&P 500 is down.
How do you make sense of this market environment? You know, Japan, well, big selling overnight. We're still not quite sure what the deal is in China. Now you've got Europe and European banks, Deutsche Bank. We're worried about their exposure to energy and other, and whether or not they can make it through this environment.
Well, it's certainly a cause for concern. And the way that we look at it as investors and advisors for our clients is the step change. You know, are economic conditions moving from good to bad or good to great? If they're moving from good to great, there's upside opportunity. If they're moving from great to good, there's downside opportunity. And when I look across the sort of the globe, you see more headwinds than tailwinds, whether it's earnings or you just alluded to, you know, a continued banking crisis in Europe and a debt-laden sovereign crisis, frankly, around the world. We've had $60 trillion of debt added to the global economy since 2007, and putting that in context, GDP, debt to GDP, has actually risen 20% in the developed world over that period. And so, you have these negative headwinds, and then you also have demographic structural challenges, right? So you have an aging worker population, Carol. You have global growth,
right,
at the lowest we've seen in 50 years at less than 1% in 2016, and you don't have productivity, so you can't grow in an economy, and you have a huge debt bubble. It's a big problem, and it's a big challenge, and there are no easy answers.
Big problem. That whole laundry list that you just played out in terms of debt, productivity, you know, just went down. That's pretty ugly.
It is ugly, and in some sense, you know, I remember several years ago reading the Reinhardt and Rogoff book. I think it was titled "This Time Is Different" or something like that.
Yes.
And they were talking about how it would take 7 years in a sort of post 2008 credit crisis environment to sort of witness a sustainable economy. Well, we're 7 years later, and our debt loads have actually risen. There are a few caveats to that comment, which is household debt in the United States and places like the UK has actually fallen just a bit. But for the most part, our debt loads are unsustainable around the world. And that poses huge challenges to sort of above current trend growth.
And you're referring to the corporate debt as well?
Corporate debt, Corey, household debt, and sovereign debt. So, you know, Chinese debt, emerging bank debt in the emerging markets, sovereign and corporate debt and household debt in Europe. There are very few exceptions where we haven't seen debt loads actually increase throughout this crisis. And again, it's a challenge. I mean, it's certainly
the underlying capital backing that debt isn't getting more valuable.
Well, that's right, and that's a big problem. And so, you know, I don't know what the solution is in Europe. Maybe they need to sort of tarp the European banks like we did in the U.S., sort of forcing them to raise capital, not giving them the option, not doing these sort of bail-ins where their debt holders are allowed to exchange their debt for equity as a means of capitalization, but there's sort of some optionality there to do it. There are no easy outs, and I frankly think that the attempt to comfort investors from Deutsche Bank this morning probably wrought more fear in the marketplace. I don't think investors necessarily believe what they're hearing. It smells of 2008 when we had our own banks here in the United States come out and indicate that they were fine and that they were liquid. It's hard to believe that that's actually the case when you look at the massive gapping wider of credit spreads, both home and abroad, both in the high yield market as well to some extent, and even just the general corporate marketplace. And so the capitalization needs to happen within Europe. And of course, we haven't even talked about China, and that's a huge headache.
Well, so then how does this end?
Well,
I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm just trying to understand how this plays out.
Well, I mean, as investors, we need to recognize that these things are happening. We need to make sure that we do not conclude that just because growth is positive, equity markets will be positive going forward. Policymakers need to be creative. I think politicians need to take off their party caps, which probably will not happen, and get together and realize that maybe some unconventional policy prescriptives are required.
There's a lot.
There's quite
a laundry list. Hey, Aaron, I'm glad we got some time with you this morning. Aaron Cannon, co-founder, chief executive officer at Clear Harbor Asset Management, about $650 million in assets under management, on the phone in New York. You are listening to the Bloomberg Advantage. Corey Johnson, Carol Masser, right here on Bloomberg Radio.